the kind who wear a tie. Button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. I'm not always polite, but I get the job done. Who says the work can never be fun? I'm simply unprofessional.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we got my co-hostess with the mostest, Devin.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Well, you know, Devin, I tried to bring the energy, and what? You just shot that shit down.
What are you talking about?
You know, we had a couple bad matches Overwatch, and I was pretty down, and so I wanted to bring the energy up.
Webby!
Yes, Devin.
What are you talking about?
I just feel like your intro there was a little subpar.
I mean, you may be right, but I was drinking coffee through the intro, so that's why. You know, I'm smooth jazzing it up right now.
All right. Okay, well, that I can handle.
As you saw with me yelling, I can bring the energy.
So we're smooth jazz Devin tonight.
Yes.
All right. Well... Before we get into tonight's topic, I have a small little rant. I said I was going to have a rant for tonight, Devin.
I already knew what the rant is.
Yep. It's not the rant from yesterday. We're not going to spend too much time on it. I'm just going to say my piece. And, Devin, I feel like you agree with me on this.
I do. I absolutely do.
So, as per Simply Unprofessional, on behalf of Simply Unprofessional... A movie that has Christmas themes within the movie and is around Christmas time is a Christmas movie, regardless of when the movie itself was released throughout the year. Period. Point and example, some people, I won't name names, happy birthday, by the way, don't think that Die Hard, the first one, is a Christmas movie. Nor do they think that Gremlins is a Christmas movie. I beg to differ. Okay? Because Gizmo in Gremlins, Gizmo was purchased as a Christmas gift, and it was throughout the Christmas holiday, so therefore it is a Christmas movie. Okay? And Die Hard, he was trying to reunite with his family and go to a Christmas party. Hence, Christmas movie. Who cares if it was an action-based Christmas movie or I guess some people would consider Gremlins a sci-fi horror-esque, you know, action Christmas movie. There's nothing that states that a Christmas movie cannot have action or other genres of the movie world within it. That is my statement. That is my rant. Is there anything you'd like to add, Devin?
Nope, that's good.
Okay, cool. Now, moving on. This week, we're going to be talking about the CW-DC crossover event, Elseworlds. Now, Devin, I just watched this over the last 3 days. Mm-hmm. You watched them the nights that they aired. I watched them the day after. I'm going to start this. I don't know how you feel about this, so that's why we're going to get into this. I feel like this year, it wasn't as good as last year's crossover, but at the same time, it is building up towards next year's crossover.
True. If I had to rank them in order, I would say it's the last year's crossover, this year's crossover, and then the first crossover, because I was not a fan of the Dominators.
Right.
I mean, yeah, if I had to rank them there, that's
what
I mean,
rank them last there. Year's was going to be hard to beat regardless because you had fucking comic book Nazis. Didn't they essentially have to fight the Nazis again last year?
Yeah, they did. They did for the most part.
So I mean, got, bam, like, Nora, Nazis. It's set, hard to beat.
They kind of set up Nora in there and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now,
I mean, this one had a lot of cool references in it. Like we got Amazo. We got, you know.
Yeah, I thought Amazo was kind of cool. I like how they brought him back a second time, and then fucking what's his name? Brainy fucking fought him off. Did not know Brainy could fly.
He can't. He has the Legion's ring. Legion ring gives you
that flight. Allows him to fly. All right.
Yep. Legion ring gives you flight. Gotcha. In the future.
Gotcha.
So there you go.
So kind of spinning off. I mean, I'm hoping that maybe you'll be able to, if there were any type of Easter eggs or whatnot. I really only picked up on the one that you kind of, you gave me a heads up for, but you didn't tell me what it was, and that was the Smallville reference. I really, really enjoyed that because I loved Smallville as a show. And when they played the opening theme and showed the fucking open, you know, the Kent farm there, I got goosebumps. I won't lie. It was a good scene. I liked it. But essentially, the crossover started off on Sunday, airing The Flash.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be sitting there saying, but Webby, but Devin, The Flash airs on Tuesday. Yep. Welcome to Elseworlds. Everything got fucking tipped on its head, including which night these fucking shows aired. So Sunday night was The Flash, and it started off with Oliver Queen waking up in Barry Allen's apartment. And it was Stephen Amell. It wasn't like Barry Allen pretending to be Oliver Queen. It was Stephen Amell. And everybody else saw him as Barry Allen. And to go one step further than that, he actually had the speed powers. And then we find out shortly after that that Barry Allen, training with Dig, everybody sees him as Oliver Queen. And they say he has, like, the Green Arrow powers, but essentially he was just really good at fighting, and he was really badass with a bow.
I mean, but that's what Green Arrow is.
I understand that. But I don't necessarily see Green Arrow as, like, having actual powers.
Well, he doesn't. He has the skill set.
Yeah, he has the skill set. So, these two meet up, and they see each other for who they are. They realize that something is happening. So they go to Star Labs, and they try to explain, hey, guys, he's really Barry, I'm really Oliver, and we're just our minds and everything, we body swapped. And they end up drugging the pair of them and putting them in the pipeline. Now, I have a question on this.
Mm-hmm.
What did they use to drug Oliver? Because it would have had to have been a really fucking
probably the same thing. Remember, you don't forget, remember Caitlin came up with alcohol that could get him drunk.
So, yeah. I mean,
I'm sure they have some type of speedster.
It would, you know. Now what would happen if you took that narcotic or that, like,
you'd probably die.
You think it would kill someone? You think it would kill just a normal person?
It probably would. It's probably similar to probably like 10 or 15 horse drinks. So you probably would if you like just horse drank a dude like 20 times. Like,
hey, at least he wouldn't feel anything when he died.
No, he wouldn't feel anything after the first horse drink.
Continue. There's somebody at my door, so if you wouldn't mind continuing the explanation of what happens next.
Yeah, so they are in the pipeline. They wake up in the pipeline. They're kind of having a conversation. Kind of about how did this happen, that kind of thing. And they realized that their friends didn't believe them, kind of turned on them and stuck them in the pipeline. So they're sitting there and they have, you know, a epiphany of how to get out of here. First things first, they could vibrate through the door, but he's like, well, obviously the pipeline is going to stop that from happening. The pipeline blocks power. So they had to, they used, I think it was the toilet in the pipeline to short circuit the wall. Like, it was like, because the toilet's electric. So they use the electrical of the toilet to short circuit the lock in the, well, not the lock, short circuit the power dampening mechanism. But in order to do that, Green Arrow, now played by Grant Gustin, had to dislocate his thumb.
Which he didn't know he could do.
He didn't know he could do. He had to dislocate his thumb in order to get those handcuffs off. So he dislocated his thumb, and then his thumb's just flopping around after some conversation, and then Oliver got him real mad. So he dislocated his thumb. He gets the cuffs off, and his thumb's flopping all around, dislocated and shit. Looks kind of funny. Looks really funny. He uses the toilet to short circuit out the power dampening, and then he tries to walk. I guess Barry Allen through how to phase. And of course, because he's the Green Arrow, he picked it up pretty quickly.
Well, there's a small little catch as to when he was actually able to do it that we find out in the next few scenes, but
right.
It wasn't until after he saw Barry's thumb just flopping around and then started laughing about it that he picked up how to phase super fast.
Right.
Because we find out in a couple scenes here that to really acquire the skill sets of the other person, they started having to adopt the other person's personality, because Barry Allen derives all of his speed and a lot of his power through, you know, happiness, through joy, through, you know, the experience of running as fast as he does, you know, makes him extremely happy. And he pulls it off from all of his friends and his loved ones. Whereas Stephen, you know, Oliver Queen derives a lot of his skill set. He digs into a really dark, angry place to get to where he has to go. We find out that they start having to try to almost adopt each other's personalities to effectively be one another. So continue.
I mean, yeah, they got out. The ones that got out, they were having the conversation of who's going to believe us. They came with the idea of going to go see Kara, because she's not on their Earth. She's on Earth
38.
Earth 38. So that's where they're going to go. And then we get the killer, cool Smallville reference, and Webby can take it from there.
Hell yeah. So intro, Smallville intro now, all except for the crashing meteor through the sign. It's essentially Clark. We meet fucking Lois Lane and Kara all on the Kent farm. And they're just kind of fixing some stuff up and talking and whatnot. And then Oliver and Barry portal into the barn, and Kara immediately sees them for who they are. You know, Barry is Barry to her, and Oliver is Oliver to her, just with speed powers. So Kara and Clark decide that they'll go back to their Earth and try to help them out. But didn't Cisco?
No,
I feel like we're missing something.
When they went to go grab the extrapolator to go to the other world,
right? And Iris let them.
First she knew they were going to do it, so she grabbed it from them, and then that's when Oliver, a la Barry, had a heart-to-heart and convinced her to, like, yeah, I'm telling the truth, let us go. So right. She let them go. And then when she let them go, that's when we pick up from there. And then she goes over, you know, then I think it cuts back at some point, and then she's talking to them, like, oh, yeah, they escaped, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but, like, didn't Cisco end up going to Earth 38 to go get them? Like, they didn't just kind of pop back to Earth 1.
No, they took the extrapolator.
Did they?
Yeah.
I know they took the extrapolator to get to Earth 38
right,
originally.
But they have.
But then didn't Cisco and then
I think so.
The other guy, the stretchy guy, I forget his name.
I don't think so, because Cisco.
Yeah, really, because they came and they're like, "Oh, hey, yeah, we kind of believe you, but we really need your help getting this killer robot off our backs."
Right, that was the Kara, but they got back themselves because they jumped back in the middle of the Amazo fight.
All right, I mean, I believe it. I don't remember.
If I'm not mistaken, because Cisco wouldn't have jumped out there. I think what happened was Amazo started attacking. When Amazo started attacking, that's when everybody was doing what they were doing. Cisco and them jumped in. That's when he stole their powers. Isn't that when he stole their powers?
Well, that's when he stole Caitlin and
Ralph's powers.
Ralph's powers. Yeah.
He stole Caitlin's and Ralph's powers, went outside. Cisco was there, and then I think they poured it back in with Supergirl with fighting the robot. And that's when they started fighting the robot. They thought they beat him, and then after all that went down, and then they're like, and that's when Superman pops in, and they really think they beat him. Because Kara also, like, they would have got back regardless, because you can take the Dimensional Stripulator with you, but Kara also has one too from like the first crossover.
Right. So, I just thought Cisco had gone and got them pretty much and essentially said, "Hey, we
at that point, Cisco didn't believe them.
No, because remember, Iris went and told them, "Yeah, I let them go because I, for whatever reason, I trust him, and I know that it's Barry." And Cisco is like, "I believe you." He believed them before they even got back. Like he didn't blame Iris for letting them go.
I don't think he went and got them, though. I don't think he went and got them.
You know what?
Because I know they had the whole training montage where Oliver. Well, Barry shot.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny as fuck. I laughed so hard at that point, and then Oliver got super upset. And then, So if you remember the first time when Oliver essentially trained Barry to scout his surroundings, Barry caught the arrow, but then got shot in the back by two hidden crossbows. And Oliver even brought it up. He's like, "Oh, funny. Where'd you hide the crossbows, or the remote control crossbows?" And Barry's like, "I didn't. Whatever. I wouldn't do that." And Oliver's like, "Oh yeah, all right." So then he ran away, and then came back and caught the arrow, and then bam, two crossbows to the back, and he got super pissed. he got Oliver level pissed. And then him and Barry got into a little spat because he tried to push Barry to a point where he'd, take things seriously, the mantle of the Green Arrow and whatnot. And that's when they decided they had to kind of adopt each other's personalities a little bit to become the best of who they are. And Kara overheard them because of super hearing and essentially said, "Finally, you two chuckleheads fucking understand." But yeah, that's as soon as they were having that conversation, that's when I thought Cisco popped in on their lawn with Ralph and was like, "Hey, nice to meet you," because Lois was gonna fucking hit him or some shit. And then
Lois was gonna hit name? Lois was gonna hit them in the barn when they poured it in, because she went up to the barn to go do. They poured it in the middle of the barn, and she was gonna hit them with the fucking wrench.
I want to go back, but we don't have time to do that. I really want to go back and look at it. That was the Flash episode.
Yep. Are you actually going to go back and look at it?
Already? I am looking. Yes. It's just going to drive me insane.
The first time we've been wrong. We can look at it later.
No, I can't. I refuse. I do have to keep this muted though. No. Fucking rewind. Oh, it's gonna be dumb. It's not gonna do it. Oh, it's stupid and it won't let me fast forward through the episode, so never mind. But anyway, if you want to continue off with their fight against the Mazo and how they end up defeating him.
I'm trying to think about Amazo getting there, because now I'm all thinking about what you were talking about.
probably people are hearing the American Gods theme now. Let's not have that.
Yeah, so they get back, they're fighting Amazo. Amazo's stealing their powers. Their whole thing is like, all right, let's take him down before he does, you know, before he steals our powers. Then he winds up stealing their powers anyway. Basically, they, you know, they try to do all that. They wind up stealing their powers. That's when Superman comes in and helps him out. And I think that's when he comes in and I think he power drives him into the earth. Or is that Kara that did that? I can't remember who did that. One of them did that. They like drove him down to the earth, like, all right, we got him. And he pops it. Yeah, that was Clark. Yeah. Like, all right, we got him. And he steals all their powers. So then eventually, and now he has Flash's powers. He's able to like vibe through all the shit. And I'm like laughing at myself, like, why don't you ever do that, Flash?
Right.
Why don't you ever vibe through shit? Like when you were in that fucking chokehold later.
Yeah, later. That was the first question I was asking is, why don't you just fucking phase through his arm, you fucking asshole?
But anyway, so that all happens. And then basically what boils down to all the super people, all the people with superpowers, basically each hold a limb and hold them in place. Now they vibrate their own bodies enough because Superman and Supergirl can to hold him in place along with the Flash. And then you get this great scene of, Oliver sitting on the roof. And he pulls back the arrow and he's like, Amazo, you have failed this city. And it's like, you're really going to take the time to say it? I was dying. I was like, why are you going to take, like, you see people struggling. You're going to take the time to say it. He just always wanted to say it. I know what's up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He takes time to say it and then shoots him in the eye.
Yeah. All right. So I did just look it up. And Cisco does breach to Earth 38 and goes to the Kent farm, to retrieve them. And then pretty much asks them and says, hey, we got this killer robot. Can you guys, you know, we believe you. Can you guys just come and be superheroes and save the city? Essentially. Cool. So. Yep. And then they had the big Amazo fight. Yep. Now, in the comics, Devin, I don't know how much you know about the Amazo in the comics. Does he take other people's powers?
I believe so.
He does. All right. I don't know much about Amazo, so.
I believe so. I believe he does. Capable of absorbing any and all natural skills and special abilities of angels. He gets close enough to.
Oh, natural skills alien. Too, huh?
Natural skills, and yes, that's why he was able to, like, well, I mean, that's a super ability, but it would be hard to replicate that, but that's why he was able to replicate Ralph's.
Right, yeah.
The stretching limbs and shit. The first being alien superpower or non-powered flesh and blood, such as strength of Superman, the speed of the Flash, the deductive intellect of Batman. Initially, it only retained the powers, aspects, and traits of the original seven members of the Justice League. Eventually, it was revealed that the android is apparently able to retain the abilities of targets he originally copied, switching between any of them instantly. The thing was, he only could use one
at a time, right?
He only could use one at a time.
Like, he could have, like, multiple copied, but he'd only be able to use one at a time?
And that's effectively how they were able to, I think, beat him one time. And, like, it was a show of the comics, they beat him like that, where I think the Flash or Green Lantern, right as he was phasing back into reality, like, he shot an arrow and he phased back his head back into an arrow shot.
Gotcha. So almost essentially the way they did it in this one.
Yeah.
So I do like how after the Amazing.
That was fight, another, I guess that's another, what you call it?
Another little Easter egg nod to the comic books.
Either the comic books or Justice League Unlimited. It was one of the two. I can't remember which one that was. They beat him like that, but it was one like that.
Yeah. The next part I like after the Amazo fight, when Clark was going back to Earth 38, because, you know, hey, you don't need Superman around for the whole time. I like how fucking, what's his name, Sherlock, says, hey, can you take this check? And he's like, oh, no, I superhero for free. He's like, no, you misunderstand. Can you take this to my wife? She lives on Earth 38. I'm a little behind in payments. Oh man!
You want me to deliver alimony?
Too much. Exactly Clark Kent. So
he did it too.
Essentially, that was all of essentially the Flash episode for the most part.
Well, right? then then, you know, so they Cisco vibes at the end of the episode. Cisco vibes and kind of shows everybody what's going on. He vibes the source of this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Effectively, he vibes what we later find out to be the monitor, and the doctor whose name is escaping my mind right now. Dr. Bad Hair Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he vibes those two in the book. So then when he vibes those two in the book, that's when, you know, Oliver does a speed sketch.
Yeah.
Or Barry does a speed sketch and then says, hey, okay, here you go. You know, this is where we're going. He's like, well, we don't know who this is. They're like, but I know where we're going. And then it like super cuts to Wayne Tower.
Yeah. You see Wayne Tower.
Next episode, we're going to Gotham City.
Yeah. And then you actually, at the very tail end of that episode, you actually see Gotham City with Batwoman at the top of one of the buildings.
Yep.
So then Monday nights was, I believe, Supergirl.
Yeah, it went in reverse order.
Okay. Well, then Monday nights would have stayed the Arrow.
No, Monday night was Arrow. I think it ended with Supergirl, I think.
All right, fair.
I think it ended with Supergirl.
Okay, so Monday nights stayed the same. Because Monday is when Arrow airs now.
Yeah, I think they literally flipped the order, so Arrow stayed in the middle.
Gotcha. So this time they end up going to Gotham City, and I like how Oliver Queen, still with speed powers.
Yep, I just checked it. Arrow was episode 2.
I like how Oliver just doesn't believe Batman's real.
He's like, no.
Batman and Barry's like a super fanboy about it.
I love more why he believes Batman isn't real.
Because he's the original vigilante?
Yes. Yes. if he admits Batman's real, then he's not the original vigilante anymore. Like, that's my favorite part of that is, you know, the reasoning behind why he doesn't.
Right.
Believe Batman's real.
So the Flash, Green Arrow, and Supergirl all go to Gotham. And they end up getting into a little bit of trouble in an alley because Gotham's gone to hell, go figure. And they get essentially held up at gunpoint. And Kara and Oliver / the Flash are attempting to just take the high road. And then Barry channels his inner Green Arrow and whoops this dude's ass and disarms him. But then the police come and Oliver Queen, now known as the Green Arrow openly, is a vigilante. And they all get arrested and thrown in jail. And then their bail is paid for by none other than Kate Kane, right? Did I get her name right?
You got it right.
Okay. Kate Kane, who in the comics, she has no actual relation to Bruce Wayne, does she?
I don't believe so.
Because in the show, she claimed that Bruce was her cousin.
Yeah, I don't believe she does. On the top of my head, I don't believe she does.
All right. I didn't think she did. But Kate Kane in the comics is Batwoman. So they're in Wayne. What are they? Wayne Industries is like the abandoned building that she's trying to renovate.
Wayne Industries.
Wayne Enterprises or whatever.
Yeah, Wayne Enterprises, there we go.
So she essentially tells them, you know, you guys can hang out on this roof here. No one will bother you, and you guys can talk about whatever you want. And she goes into her office, which was Bruce's old office, and she spies on them. Go figure. And then Supergirl ends up deciding,
because
they can't find this doctor.
The original Batwoman, when they redid the continuity, Kathy Kane, the very original Batwoman, back in the late 70s,
80s, uh-huh.
I think. No, I lied. This was back in August of 2011. Revealed the origin of the original Batwoman. She is Bruce's aunt by marriage. So the original Batwoman, this is like back in olden days. So either.
So she was Bruce's aunt?
Well, Kathy Kane. Not Kathy Kate Kane.
Not Kathy Kane. Yeah. But Kate Kane has no actual blood relation to Bruce Wayne.
I don't believe so, no. From what I'm still looking at right now, I don't believe she does.
All right. So Oliver essentially gets a computer and starts doing, because he stole a hard drive from the Gotham City Police, and he's trying to do all this, all these different ways to find this doctor and the one who has this book and essentially rewrote reality. And then Supergirl decides, well, I'm just going to go fly around the city and do my X-ray vision, you know, thing and see if I can't go find him. But as she's wandering away, she ends up coming across Kate Kane sitting at her desk in her office, and they have a little chat together. They talk about tattoos and then Supergirl's lack of tattoos. They have a cool dynamic. I like their dynamic.
Yep.
Because, like, it's a known thing that, like, Superman and Bruce and Batman have, like, this frenemy, I guess, dynamic.
Yeah, the only thing that sucks for me is I really wish she was from Supergirl's Earth.
Right.
And the reason why I say that is because they're... From my understanding is that this is acting as kind of like a backdoor pilot to a Batwoman show.
Right.
And I would really... I think we have enough. I think the world of Arrow and Flash is kind of fleshed out enough.
Yeah. I agree.
I would like to see somebody else on Supergirl's Earth that she can team up with.
Right. Yeah.
That's not directly her character, you know?
I would agree with that.
Directly like her, like one of her villains or enemies or whatever. Yeah, I would really like to see that. So.
I actually really enjoy... I like the actress that they got to portray Batwoman. Ruby Rose, I think, right? Rose Ruby?
Rose, that's it.
From a lot of people would know her from, I guess, last season or whatever of Orange is the New Black or whatever.
Orange is the New Black, yep.
So anyway, that conversation in her office pretty much ends with Kara doing a Hail Mary like, oh, hey, you wouldn't happen to know this doctor guy. And Kate Kane's like, oh, yeah, I do. He's a doctor down at Arkham Asylum. Well, there we go. Now we know where he is. So the next scene is Kara essentially pushing in Caitlin Snow, saying, oh, I have another admittance. And then she did this whole, like, technical, like, scientific mumbo-jumbo. And the nurse is like, what all does that mean? And Kara's like, she freezes shit and makes it real cold. And then Caitlin just kind of flashed her white eyes at her. And that got them admittance into Arkham. Now, I don't know if you did or if there's a list online or whatever that you can pull up. I did not because I was in my living room, but it was being played on my computer. So I didn't have like a remote to just pause it. I didn't catch many of the names on the doors.
When they
were going down the hallway.
There was...
I saw Nygma.
There was Nygma, there was Penguin, there was...
Oh, they did have Cobblepot?
They had Cobblepot. I'm trying to think who else was there. I know they had... Because he actually makes an appearance. I know fucking... What's his name? I always forget his fucking name. It's stupid. It's a Psycho Pirate.
Who the fuck is Psycho Pirate?
That was the guy in the gold mask.
Okay, so he's like a pivotal person then.
I mean, he's going to be.
I know nothing about that character. I didn't even know there was a character named Psycho Pirate.
He's a Silver Age villain. Like,
all right.
He's a Silver Age villain, and it's not. They're basically. Is taking him and using him, I'm guessing, as a catalyst for this because nobody gives a shit about Psycho Pirate.
They really need to start using some people that people will like.
Well, the reason why they do that is because, like, a lot of you run a risky road because, like, for instance, if you grab like Hush, which is I want that to be a Batman movie, that's a separate issue altogether. And I don't mean an animated movie. I think they are making an animated. I want to rig a live-action Batman movie, Hush, but that's a separate issue. But if you took like a villain like Hush,
who's like a iconic villain, and you make him, and you kind of twist him to fit your world, people are going to feel some type of way. Like, oh, that's not right. Like, perfect like example.
They, I think like, this they is didn't like, do him
Asriel.
Justice.
Like, if they took Asriel and was like, okay, you're Asriel, Michael Lane was the, what you call it, we're going to go Jean-Paul Valley. So, like, okay, we're going to take Jean-Paul Valley Asriel, and we're going to rework him for a, you know, a Batman crossover or Bane. Bane, perfect example, because he's a Batman villain. Let's say he's locked up. All right, we're going to rework Bane. So if Bane's in there, we're reworking Bane. That's what we're doing. And then, you know, he's like the Hulk or something in that world. Like it's or he used a drug one time that made him super strong. Not like he has to continue to take doses. And maybe he's not as smart as the other, you know, smart as he should be. People are going to feel some type of way. But if a character like Psycho Pirate, nobody gives a fuck. Like, you may have that one diehard Psycho Pirate fan in the back, like, you motherfuckers.
I'm gonna be that guy now. I'm gonna go research Psycho Pirate and be that diehard Psycho Pirate fan.
Can I just say you do that? Can I just say that Cisco got hit by that car really fucking hard?
The van? Hell yeah, he did. Dude, that fucking shit. I was like, oh man, he dead. He gone. Now, going on to your, like, going off of your little thing about how some people will take these villains and feel like they just don't do them justice. That's why they kind of get these lower ranked villains, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But these are in shows where essentially they've grabbed some of these cooler superheroes. So like in Supergirl, they have John Jones, the Green Martian. I really like how they did him in Supergirl. I like that character. And so, like, when you see this, and then you watch these shows because you enjoy them, so obviously these main characters, like Supergirl, The Flash, Green Arrow, they've done something right with these characters. At that point, wouldn't you feel like they've put enough trust into, hey, these guys have gotten the point of what these superheroes are like, that you would trust them to make your super villains?
It's not even just that, though. You run into, like, studio issues, too.
Okay.
Like, if they wanted to take Bane, the studio may have a certain way that they have to do Bane.
Oh.
Whereas Psycho Pirate, they're like, oh, he last appeared in a comic book in 1985. Go right ahead.
Fucking right.
Okay, I'm lying. He actually popped up in DC Rebirth recently.
I don't care. I'm going to become the Psycho Pirate number one fanboy.
You do that in his red and black checkerboard cape.
Never mind. I already hate this guy.
Here's your Psycho Pirate, Mr. Psycho Pirate fanboy.
Devin, if you were really my friend, why would you let me become a Psycho Pirate fanboy?
Because that's what you want in life. You wanted it so bad. Who am I as your friend? Who am I to tell you no?
Hopefully a friend. Where am I?
There's Psycho Discord? Pirate.
All I see in Discord is still the schoolgirl snake.
PM.
That's Psycho Pirate?
That's Psycho Pirate.
Yeah, I don't really care for him. He looks like a weird court jester with just a gold mask. He looks like a court jester if fate decided he was going to
be. He looks exactly like a mix of Dr. Fate and Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, I don't like it.
He looks like Mr. Miracle and Dr. Fate. Actually, he looks more like Mr. Miracle, period. I forgot Mr. Miracle has a gold face. He looks like Mr. Miracle. Just not as flashy as Mr. Miracle. I do like me some Mr. Miracle, though.
Well, what is this fleshy monstrosity that you posted above?
That was something I sent you the other day.
Okay, that's fucked up. Anyway, I'm going to have nightmares now. I can't stop. It's like a train wreck, Devin. What the fuck? I can't stop looking at it. How many different bodies are there? That one arm on the left-hand side has all the hands, and then the arm on the right-hand side has all the goddamn feet. This is not good. I can't not look at this horrible monstrosity of a thing.
I love how I derailed SU
with something like you posted last Tuesday. Last Tuesday at 7 p.m. What were we doing last Tuesday that fucking you posted D&D. This?
Recording D&D.
We recorded D&D last Tuesday?
Not last Tuesday, but this Tuesday. It was December 11th, so this Tuesday.
No, but you posted this picture last... It says last Tuesday.
No, it says December 11th. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. To me, it just says, totally not a bear. Last Tuesday at 7 p.m.
For me, it was December.
Yeah, it had to. Yeah, okay, because the fucking... The King of Yellow or whatever was... It also says last Tuesday. So, yeah, it was Tuesday. Okay, anyway, I can't stop looking at it. It's fucking horrible, folks. I see no faces. It's literally arms and legs.
And torsos.
I see a torso. I don't see another torso. Oh, yeah, I do see some torsos in the legs. But it's mainly fucking arms and legs. There's no head. There's no mouth anywhere. It looks like those two hands could be like mandibles, like could be a mouth, but it's not, I don't think. I hope fucking not. Oh my god, it's fucking horrible. Okay, you've derailed SU. I don't know what's happening now. They break into Arkham, shit goes sideways, all the prisoners escape, then they all have to be put back, and then shit happens, and then they leave. They get kicked out of Gotham by Batwoman. And that was the end of the Arrow episode, essentially. Oh, no. Yep. Well, the end of the Arrow episode is reality shifts again because they had this book. And then the book was taken by fucking the Monitor and given back to the Doctor. And then the Doctor rewrote history again, rewrote reality again. And then fucking Barry Allen and Oliver Queen wake up as... not even supervillains, just criminals. Just debunked criminals. They were the Trigger Twins. Yeah. And then that's where that left off. I remember, because it was like a, what the fuck am I watching? I remember writing that to you.
Yep, the Trigger Twins, man.
They're not even anybody cool.
Did you look them up?
No. Why? Are they actual fucking cool people?
I don't know.
Fuck. They might be.
I feel like that was a reference to something.
They might be. Now I'm going to...
Trigger Twins.
Now I'm going to be
Trigger Twins. Are the names of two sets of fictional Western-themed comic book... I like them already. I mean, they are pretty cool. They came back as Black Lanterns at one point. That's pretty cool. Their name is Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan.
Well...
Oh no, they were created by Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan. My bad. I'm like, those are real people. I was like, yeah, Tom and Ted Trigger, the Trigger Twins.
Tom and Ted, I hate that name. God damn it, Tad.
Why are you hating Tad, man? What Tad do you?
Fuck, kind of name is Tad.
I don't know the name.
It was like somebody who fucking hiccuped and when they went to go say Ted, but they fucking hiccuped and said Tad on accident.
I mean, it could have happened. It could have happened. They were doing it and they sneezed as they were filling out the birth certificate. So he's fucking Ted now.
Fucking Ted. You know who a douchebag is? Tad's a douchebag. I'm going to hate on the one named Tad for a while. Bear with me. I'm playing with a Sharpie now. Now we in for it, folks. Anyway, so now I gotta read into these Trigger Twins. I'm gonna become the Trigger Twin fucking fan of the month. I gotta stop looking at this picture of this fucking monstrosity. This thing's driving me insane just looking at it. I'm like trying to count the hands and feet. Ah, Devin, this is fucking horrible. And you find such enjoyment out of it.
I do.
All right. So then Tuesday's episode was Supergirl. So they decide that they're in a world. Neither of them have powers. They're criminals. They're going to try to get to an alternate.
Well, then they meet the doctor who turned himself into Superman.
Right, yeah, because they outran the cops, but then they ran into Superman wearing the black and silver suit. essentially, or just the all black suit. I don't remember now. I thought it was black and silver.
It was black and silver.
And
black with silver with a silver chest.
We find out that that was really the doctor who rewrote reality, made himself into Superman, but knew really nothing about Superman. Just knew that he had a lot of powers. Well, because
he's from a different Earth, so he only knows what that Earth's reality is.
Right.
So he didn't know anything about him or Supergirl, so he put Supergirl in prison.
Yeah. So they kind of put Superman in a predicament there, because he said that he was the Earth's greatest hero, blah blah blah, and that, you know, he was the hero that they needed. So Oliver Queed literally shot this crane that was already tipping over, shot these cables off, made this crane start careening towards these kids, and it was like, you can either capture us, or you can go be the real hero like you want to be and save all those fucking kids down there. And so, begrudgingly, Superman fucking ran away and went to go save the kids. And then fucking Barry was not okay with that decision and almost got violently ill at just the thought that they did it, which I thought was funny. That seems like a very Barry Allen thing.
That does seem like a very Barry Allen thing to do.
So then they decide, hey, we're gonna go to a different Earth and try to get Clark. You know, try to get the real Superman. Because who better to fight the fake Superman than the real Superman? But to do that, they need Cisco. So they kind of hedge their bets that, well, if we're evil, maybe our superhero friend Cisco will also be evil. So then where do evil people hang out? Where do supervillains hang out? And they end up going to a bar. Is this... Do they meet the monitor again before they go to the bar? Because they go to that apartment building.
They go to the apartment before they go to the bar.
Yeah. And then they open up that door and it leads to like this weird alternate universe thing. Like this pocket dimension with this platform where the monitor's standing.
Yeah.
And the monitor essentially is just telling them, hey, you know, there's a thing coming. There's like a crisis that's going to come and you guys need to prepare and blah, blah, blah. Essentially. He essentially said that the reason he gave the book, and we find this out, and I believe in the Arrow episode, but essentially the whole reason he gave the book to the doctor was to let the doctor do a whole bunch of chaotic shit and see what the superheroes would do to save the world, because what's coming, they need to essentially be good enough to beat what's coming. And so far, several worlds have failed this.
Yep.
I
totally forgot to talk about Barry J, but that's okay.
Who?
Jay.
Oh, yeah, Jay, yeah, yeah. He was also Jay Garrick. Yeah.
He was Barry. Not yeah. Jay, but you know.
He's just, he's old Barry Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he's the Barry Allen of that Earth.
Yeah.
Earth 63 or whatever.
So they end up going to a bar. They find the boss, which is Cisco, counting a bunch of money. And then probably get challenged to a fight and or get their asses handed them by Jimmy Olsen, who is also now a villain. But then appeal to Cisco's sense of, hey, we can get rid of Superman. So they find out Cisco can breach. They convince him to breach. And seemingly, I don't know how Cisco knows where all these things are, but they breach right into the Fortress of Solitude, first off. And he didn't say anything. Well, like, he mentioned, like, the goofy blue suit and blah, 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 but, like, he didn't say anything about, oh, so you want us to kill Superman by going to get a different Superman. I really thought that was going to be one of the points.
I mean, I love how he probably just peaced out. Like, well, I'm out of here. You guys got what you wanted about.
Well, he didn't. He hung around.
He hung around, but I'm saying, but when they got back, he's like, all right, I'm out. Bye.
Yeah. Now, when they went to the Fortress of Solitude the first time, he touched that hammer that gave off the really bright light and almost blinded him. Yep. He's like, oh, you could throw some crazy ass parties with this thing. I know a guy. I'll hook you up. What was that hammer? Anybody? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
I have no fucking clue. But it came. It became relevant later on in the episode.
Right, but I have no idea what specifically what the hammer was.
Man, that's fucked up. I was hoping you'd know.
Nope.
Anyway, so they convince Clark to come, and then Clark fights Clark. Superman versus Superman. They end up getting the book. Kara tries to read it. Can't, because it hurts. But
yeah, it's because you know everything in the universe.
Yeah, but Superman had told Barry
that he's dealt with stuff like that before.
Yeah, so essentially they got the book to Superman. Superman opened it up and started fixing reality. Put Oliver back in his body, put Barry back in his, gave them their powers back. Kara ended up getting out of the pipeline because she appealed to alternate Alex Danvers and proved that she was good. Yep. Which
that's how it happened, folks.
I thought that was all right, I guess. I'll say this. I'm not a big fan of Alex Danvers with long hair.
I mean, I'm not a fan of Alex Danvers with like that shitty wig, long hair.
Yeah.
It didn't look like it was her hair.
Yeah.
It was weird.
And then as they were rewriting it, alternate Superman, evil Superman, I guess, ended up doing like a weird thunderclap thing and knocking the book out of his hands and grabbing it and flying away and started rewriting reality again. So that's when Barry and Kara decided, hey, we're just going to slow down time. And by doing that, we're going to just essentially run and fly in opposite directions around the world and essentially stop the Earth from spinning, therefore stopping time. Don't think that's how that works. Like, even in time. Like, it just does. Listen, this timey-wimey bullshit really does make my head explode. So, Devin, please explain to me, theoretically, would that even work?
Technically, if you stop the Earth spinning, you would destroy the entire Earth.
Fucking okay, there we go.
If you stop the Earth spinning, the atmosphere would still be in motion with the Earth's original 1,100 mile per hour rotation speed at the equator. So all the land masses would be scored clean of anything not attached to bedrock. So that's according to NASA. But that was a callback to like Superman 2 or 3.
That is the best. I love you, NASA. I love the fact that they took the time out to answer a question like that too.
What would happen if the Earth stopped spinning? The probability for such an event is practically zero. In the next few billion years, if the Earth stopped spinning suddenly, the atmosphere would still be in motion with the Earth's original rotation speed at the equator. All the land masses would be scored clean of anything not attached to bedrock. This means rocks, topsoil, trees, buildings, your pet dog, and so on would be swept away into the atmosphere. If the process happened gradually over billions of years, the situation would be very different, and the possibility would likely kind of concentrating of the sun and the moon upon the Earth finally reached the conclusion the rotation period slow to one rotation every 365 days, because we call sun synchronous. Every spot in the Earth would have permanent daytime or nighttime all year long. Wow.
Jesus.
So if the Earth got to a point where it would make one rotation, what is it? Did it say? Da-da-da-da-da. One rotation every 365 days. A condition called sun synchronous. Every spot on the Earth would have permanent daytime or nighttime. So if the Earth only spun once a year, it would be permanent daytime or nighttime. That would... So you'd have, so for 1 year, you'd have daytime on like one half of the Earth for 1 year. And then the next year would be daytime for the other half of the Earth. You would get half year daylight and half year nighttime. During daytime for 6 months, the surface temperature would depend on your latitude being far hotter than it is now. The equator and the poles. Blah, blah, blah. For example, if you were at the latitude plus 24 degrees north, the summer latitude and summer would be exactly overhead. It would slide gradually to the horizon as fall approached, but since the sun has moved 90 degrees in its orbit, it would now be due west. Then we approach winter. NASA, you guys are too smart, but that's okay. You would now be located on the dark side of the Earth, which could have a travel along 280 degrees along the sun. So, yeah, there you go. There you go. So, yeah, if everything just suddenly stopped moving, the atmosphere would still be moving, so you would rip everything up. And basically kill everybody.
That's some fucked up shit.
So there you go.
I love it. I love NASA even more for that. I forgot my original question now. Oh, so they decided they were going to do this thing and try this insane fucking thing. And Clark said, oh, I saw you guys make this decision in the book. You guys destroy yourselves. You guys literally evaporate. And it's your destiny. And Oliver was like, well, hopefully we can rewrite your destinies. You guys go do what you got to do. And he let them go. And Clark essentially, or Oliver essentially told Clark, hey, you go and try to get that guy some, be busy and get the book from him if you can. I'll be back. And he went to go back to that shitty ass apartment building, kicked in that door, and had a one-on-one talk with the monitor. And essentially told him upright, hey, you're being a dick. If you are trying to compare yourself to a god, you're a piss-poor version of one. Because if you want whatever is coming to be beaten, then you're going to just allow two of your best chances to burn themselves up into non-existence. That's some bullshit. And then he pretty much threw in the monitor's face, hey, out of the countless times that you've done this on the various worlds, how many people have kicked down that door and fucking come face to face and had this little chat with you? And the monitor's like, well, you know, you're the first. So I kind of give you that one. And then he explained that every action apparently has a reaction, and the world needs some sort of balance. So I feel like there was a deal made between Oliver Queen and this monitor thing, and they're not telling us what that deal was.
Agreed. You know, Oliver always making deals.
Yeah. So essentially, there's like a fight, a bunch of shit happens, all these people come. The evil Superman makes Amazo come back, and then Brainy fucking just brings him up into the air and just deals with him. You know, machine a la machine. John Jones, I didn't care for this part. Martian Manhunter comes and says, hey, you deal with him, I'll rescue the people. He goes, and like these people like fall to the ground, and he goes and like covers them up, and then there's like this big flame. Martian Manhunter is deathly afraid of fire.
Yep.
They could have made like a car flying at them.
To be fair, I will say this, in the comic book, he does overcome that fear at some point.
Yeah, at some point.
Which we don't know how far in his career Martian Manhunter as Martian Manhunter is. They could have
still.
It could be, you know, after his merging with his father, you know, that's his whole thing.
Well, then they should have led. They should have led into that somewhere on Supergirl, because in Supergirl they've played off the fact that he's afraid of fire,
right?
And like they could have had anything else, like a flying car coming out of left field, and he just kind of like stands
maybe
up and
they're
like
gonna build
beats
up
it down.
When they, maybe they're gonna build up to when they come back in like 5 weeks.
Maybe, but in any case, that was the one part I had a little gripe with. But then. This guy, essentially Barry and Kara succeed in slowing down time and stopping the world's rotation. Everything slows down. Lois comes in fucking hammering and blinding everybody and then gets knocked up into the air. Clark slows down to try to save her. Everything's moving in slow-mo except for Oliver Queen. Who like walks out onto this rooftop with this glowing blue arrow. This dude with the book fucking turns around and Oliver shoots the book. and then you just see this doctor who's like desiccated but still alive. He's like mummified almost. He looks gnarly regardless. So he's lying on the ground. The book is, I guess, essentially inert now, right? The book is useless because he like powered it down by shooting it, because it wasn't glowing while it was open anymore.
Maybe. Or he severed the link with the doctor, dude. So
maybe. Time sped back up, and Kara and Barry just ran back to them, and then the Earth just starts rotating. I guess they didn't have to like jump start the Earth. I don't get time stuff. Anyway.
Time stuff. That's just atmospheric bullshit.
But yeah. Hey, they ran in opposite directions to slow down and stop the Earth. They should have both ran and flew in the same direction to speed it back up again.
Unless they ran in opposite directions so the atmosphere would not get fucked up. But yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I guess they kind of created a new rotation. It's weird. Who cares?
So then, yay, everybody saved the day. Everything's back to normal. And then essentially it cuts to... Is this where it kind of cuts down to Barry and Oliver at the bar?
Yep.
Just drinking and kind of having a heart-to-heart. And they're talking about the experience that they had and whatnot. And
yep, and then Barry tries to hug him.
Oh, Barry asks if he can hug him, and Oliver's like, no, for fuck's sake, no, not this time, okay? You've hugged me twice already when I said no, not this time. I really thought Barry was going to sneak it in there anyway. But then Oliver gets a phone call. He essentially answers it with, I thought you've had enough of us, or I thought you were done with us. And it was Batwoman on the other end of the phone. And then they cut to the... Crisis on Infinite Earths Fall 2019 title sequence, essentially. So that's going to be next year's crossover event is Crisis on Infinite Earths, which yep. This was all a big build-up to that one.
Which Crisis on Infinite Earths could change a lot of shit.
Because it did in the comic books.
Now, I know almost nothing about Crisis on Infinite Earths comic book-wise. I have not read that story arc yet.
Well, it's all about the Anti-Monitor.
Right. I know the Monitor can essentially... He knows the Anti-Monitor's location at all times.
The Anti-Monitor is super powerful. I honestly have no idea how they're going to... beat him.
Now, what do you think Oliver's deal with the Monitor was? Do you have any type of speculation?
Not really. Honestly.
Huh. Because I don't think the Monitor would be the type of person... Essentially, the Monitor is not like a bad person, right?
No, he's a good guy.
So I don't think the Monitor essentially would be the type of person where it's like, oh, well, the world needs balance, and if these two aren't going to burn themselves alive, then somewhere down the road, I'm taking you. Like a crossroads demon kind of deal.
I don't think it was that either. I don't know. I don't think it was that. I think it's maybe just... It could be a really benign deal. I really don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. Because, I mean, it goes from Crisis to Infinite Earth to Infinite Crisis to Final Crisis, which I don't really care about Infinite Crisis and Final Crisis. Crisis to Infinite Earth is the most important one.
And that was all about Anti-Monitor?
No, about Anti-Monitor. It basically changed the entire multiverse.
In what way? Give us a little spoiler, if you know about it.
So at the start of Crisis Infinite Earth, the Anti-Monitor is unleashed on the DC multiverse and begins to destroy various Earths that it compromises. That it comprises. The Monitor tries to recruit heroes from around the multiverse, but is murdered. This is from the comic book version, so who knows what's going to happen. While Brainiac collaborates with the villains to conquer the remaining Earths, however, both the heroes and villains are eventually united by the Spectre. The series concludes with Kal-El, Superboy Prime, and Alexander Luthor defeating the Antimatter in the creation of a single Earth in place of the multiverse. So it could be a way of merging all of this shit together.
Oh, okay. Then we wouldn't have to.
However, Crisis on Infinite Earth is infamous for its high death count. Hundreds of characters died, including DC icons such as Supergirl and Barry Allen.
Well, shit, because I love Barry Allen.
Then we got Wally. That was what happened after that. After he died. I love comic book Wally. I'm not a fan. I love comic Wally. He's the best speedster. On paper, he is the best speedster. It's fine.
I mean, don't worry. I've read all about it. I understand, but I'm still gonna. I love Barry Allen. Barry's personality. I think he.
I like best Barry portrayed a lot too.
The Flash. So
I like Barry a lot too. I will say I do think Wally, in terms of the Flash, being Barry is definitely a more mature Flash because he got his powers as an adult, where Wally got his as a kid.
Right.
So he kind of carried that, but I mean, personally, you know.
Hey, which Flash was it who showed up in Smallville?
That was Bart.
Oh, that was Bart. That's right.
Well, I think it was fucking Barry. Little, I think they call him the Bart.
Little pissant. Showing up Tom Welling by fucking running backwards during their foot race at the end.
Yeah, he did, and smoked them.
Yeah.
You know what I just realized?
What's up?
That the pipeline is the equivalent of the cosmic treadmill.
Yeah.
Every time he needs to travel back in time, he runs in the pipeline.
Yep.
Where the Flash had the cosmic treadmill, which I think is still the greatest thing of all time.
Yep. All right. Well, essentially, so that was
going to happen.
That was essentially Elseworlds, the crossover event for the CW, in a nutshell, anyway. Go watch it. It was still good. I don't think it was as good as last year's, but that's just my personal preference.
Crisis on Earth X was pretty dope.
Yeah. Fucking Nazis.
Earth X, there's that though. It had like Thawne, had everybody in it. That was dope. You know? Yep. Like actual Thawne. It had all the iconic villains. It was really dope.
Yep.
Elseworld, really good. I liked it. In fact, it holds 100%. All three episodes hold 100% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
And then you have Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is coming up, which is going to make me super happy.
Yep. So, all right. Well, I think that'll be the wrap for this week's SU. For those of you listening, next week, because of our making over $1,000 at our live stream, a lot of people have already done their quote unquote punishments. John dyed his hair red and green. Tamara streamed this Cuphead game, which doesn't look too hard, but
it's one of the hardest games.
She was having a super hard time with it. And I joined Edquist with his punishment. He played Dead by Daylight as a survivor. I think he's done the killer one as well already, but he definitely played the survivor one with no perks, no add-ons, no offerings. I also joined him with no perks, no add-ons, no offerings.
I'm sure it wasn't that bad.
We actually did better than we normally do. We won more matches than we would have if we brought perks.
Wasn't that bad. I do that shit for fun when I just don't want to.
Yeah, whatever. All right, Devin, whatever.
You really want to torture yourself, go fucking play Overwatch.
Yeah. People, I don't know where Devin's going with this.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still on air?
I don't know. I didn't mind this last season that I watched on the last season that was on Netflix. Anyway.
Show has been
I haven't watched season six
since like the second season. It was decent in the first. It was slow in the first season. Picked up in the second season. The third season was eh. The fourth season was, and then it just started going downhill from there.
I didn't mind this fifth one.
It needs to stop. It's terrible.
Hey, I don't know. Also, for anybody listening, if it's on your Netflix, I highly recommend go watch the show Happy! Exclamation point.
Go watch what?
Happy.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good. I mean, I haven't finished watching yet, but it's funny. I like it.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think The Gifted got canceled.
Did it?
I think so.
God damn it. I haven't even started watching the second season of that yet.
Hold on. I'll tell you in a second. Let me go to Cancel Bear.
Why are you just wanting to... today has just progressively gotten shittier.
Well, maybe that's what happens when you're my friend.
You know? Devin, god damn it.
I don't think The Gifted is still... Okay, no, we're good. It's... Okay. As of, wait, no, wait. That was December of last year. Hold on. I got to find a recent one.
You got my hopes up there for a minute. Now you about to fucking volleyball spike that shit down to the ground.
Season 3. What's the show about? Season 2 ratings. Official status. As of December. Okay, as of December 14th, it has not been canceled or renewed as of yet.
Okay, so it's up in the air.
It's still up in the air.
Okay. I'll accept that. For fuck's sake.
Although it did technically drop about 38% in ratings first season. So...
All right, well, we're going to end this.
Although
now.
Fox is also losing Gotham because Gotham ran its course, so Gotham's done.
Yeah,
so
I know Gotham was getting canceled, yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, Gotham told a good story. It was done. It's done. Which I'm happy about now that Gotham's gone. Hopefully they can start doing stuff with Gotham. That was not Gotham, the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, people. Yeah. Hopefully now that Gotham, the show's off the air, they can start doing more stuff with Gotham, like in the DC world.
Yeah, like a Batwoman show with starring Ruby Rose.
Exactly. Which I'm totally okay with. I really liked her. People were so mad it was her. They're like, oh my god.
I liked her.
Because people are terrible people.
I don't know.
People.
I hate people.
Ruby Rose is awesome.
You know what? We hate people here at SU.
We do.
So
you know who likes people? Booster Gold. That's why we hate him.
Oh yeah, that was the whole premise of all of this. Next week it will be a Booster Gold episode as my punishment for us making $1,000 for our goal. It won't be a complete, oh, I'm just gonna sit here and shit on Booster Gold for an hour. I'm actually gonna do my homework and we're gonna do Booster Gold some justice. Don't expect my mentality to change towards Booster Gold by the end of it, because it won't.
What if it does, though?
It won't.
But what if it does, though?
There is nothing in this fucking world that will make me like that character. I will give him the props he deserves, where he deserves it, but it will always, forever
He's
be
from New Hampshire,
hashtag
He's
fuck
from
Booster
New
Gold.
Hampshire. His favorite person is Felicia Day. He's a super comic book nerd. And
you're describing me so far.
I know.
And you know what? I feel that with those criteria, competition. So fuck Booster Gold. That's how that is. So Devin, where can people find you? Anyway, people can find... We're going to be doing Booster Gold next week, so listen in for that if you want to. I will laugh if the Booster Gold episode is the lowest rating SU episode out of all of them. Chances are it's probably going to be one of the most listened to ones, which is bullshit. But anyway, where can people find you, Devin?
You guys can find me at DMP_Pookie on Twitter and at Who Killed Me on Twitch.
You guys can follow me at Jax Forestwalker, all one word, and on Twitch at DM Webby. And as always, fuck Booster Gold.
Booster Gold.
And now the outro music's playing. I might have Ross on next week for Booster Gold. I gotta figure out what day you want to record it though. Da-da-da-da-da-da.